For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
With the shift in consumer behaviors and the evolution of technology, small and medium businesses are doing everything they can to keep up. Businesses are either changing their business models to an online one or growing existing marketing efforts with digital marketing strategies. The Marketing Advisor Show each week will talk about how to grow your business through digital marketing. It's time for the Marketing Advisor Show on 104.5 WOKV. Here's your host, Digital Sales Director with Local Solutions and Cox Media Group, Mark Chaplin.
Welcome to another edition of the Marketing Advisor Show. I'm your host, Mark Chaplin, the Digital Director of Local Solutions, Cox Media Group, and 104.5 WOKV. Along with me today is CMG Media Consultant and Automotive Specialist Tim Colt and CMG Manager and Automotive Specialist Randy Cable. Tim, Randy, thanks for joining me today, gentlemen.
Thanks, Mark. Happy to be here. Excited to have this conversation today.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I'm looking forward to it.
Excellent. So we can go ahead and just kind of jump in. Today, we're going to be talking automotive. We're going to be doing car talk, automotive marketing. So we'll give you tips to make your marketing efforts more effective, but we'll also talk about some of the different techniques and technologies that we have to really pull it all together and put your marketing into overdrive. So I wanted to kind of kick it off, guys. You know, we're obviously in different times than anybody's ever been in, and I don't think anybody needs to say that again. So I'll go past that. But From what we're seeing in the automotive industry and the amount of tenure that you guys have, what solutions, you know, on a broad scale make sense for a dealer if they have a goal, like if they want to generate more leads or if they want to increase what their brand awareness is or if they want to show some community outreach or goodwill? What are some things that come to your mind, whether it's radio, you know, boots on the ground or digital? What comes to mind as far as some really good best practices in your history and what you're seeing right now? You know, Tim, if you want to go first, I'll toss that over to you.
Well, thanks, Mark. Some of the things that I think are a must for any competitive dealership, especially if we're talking a new car dealership, would be, you know, to make sure your SEO is up to date and you've had a current evaluation by a third party company. Also, a robust Google, Bing, or paid search campaign is a must anymore, as well as all of the social platforms. You need to be there, and of course, I love radio because it targets. It's able to target the kind of customer that you want based on the format of each station. We have 8 of them here, so we're always able to find the right audience for our clients.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things that we really hang our hat on is the idea of get noticed, be found, and convert, right? And our station cluster, I know, does a really good job of that. And Tim, when you say SEO, right, search engine optimization, a lot of people, I think, forget to have that third party look at it. What would you say is one of the top one or two pieces of that third party evaluation as far as like the advantage of having them do it versus the person you're working with?
Well, if you can find a reputable third party company to do it, I believe that what we find most often is speed to be an issue, different things not loading up properly, and then you know obviously when we check it out, we go into all aspects of the site and make sure that you know the proper wording's being used so it can be picked up in the searches, but it's pretty complicated to just give you one thing.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of everything.
Yeah. And I know, Randy, I want to see what you have to say, but I wanted to touch on real quick because, you know, Tim, in my experience, when you're paying one person to do it and you're not quite sure getting that other person to do it, it might cost a little bit extra, but it's worth its weight in gold because you're getting that unbiased and that real talk as far as what you're getting out of it. Kind of like if you're not sure how your car is sounding, instead of going to, you know, maybe a shade tree or the dealer, find the person who doesn't really have a, you know, a dog in the fight or a horse in the race to give you the straight shot of what you need. I like that. And you also mentioned paid search through Google and Bing, right? Taking that paid search stuff that works really well for the people that are in the bottom of the funnel and ready to pull the trigger to drive off a lot, right? Having that paid search campaign in conjunction with the search engine optimization, making all of those words work together, that's really when you're humming along. So I'm glad you mentioned that. Randy, as far as, you know, your experience, and I know you're really experienced in auto, you're really experienced in radio and data, but what, you know, what from a solution standpoint for a dealer nowadays, especially, would make sense to you?
Well, they've got to find the right mix, you know, I'll talk about perspective, more so than tactics for the moment. And the perspective that I think is important is that if you're a new car dealer, one of the things that you have to do is separate the way you're viewed from the factory advertising that's done for the brand. Because really, you know, it doesn't do you any good that, that Chevy's doing a lot of advertising if you're a Chevy dealer. And, it's great for the brand and hopefully it drives more people to buy Chevys. But the real goal for any local Chevy dealer is to sell more Chevys than the other Chevy dealer. So from an individual perspective, they have to be worried more about how this is impacting their dealership. And sometimes a lot of the programs that are pushed out by different, you know, who the manufacturers say they want the dealerships to work with for advertising, for digital advertising especially, the factories want to control the copy and make sure it looks great for Chevy, not necessarily anything that really separates what the dealer does that gives them a competitive advantage. And I understand that. You know, part of it is, you know, they want the brand to do better. But, you know, from a dealer level, the dealer needs the dealer to do better, you know, individually. So if you're running a dealership, I mean, it's great. I know you want Chevy to, you know, take more vehicles from Dodge or Ford or whoever, you know, you want to get consumers swayed away from. But at the end of the day, if somebody's going to buy a Chevy and they're going to choose between three Chevy dealerships, what makes you different? What makes you stand out from that? You know, and it's not about the price of the car, because in new car pricing, everybody's working off the same scale and the same metrics. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can do some specials, but all those things are pretty much controlled. You know, there has to be transparency in the offers. So really, everybody's on an even keel. So the difference is not that. The difference is why you instead of somebody else. And I think that carries true across any type of advertising and any type of business, but especially in the auto business and new cars.
Especially in the auto business. Yeah, the term we often use in our industry being, you know, advertising, media, and marketing is USP, that unique selling position. And you're right. If they're working on the same scale from what that inventory is and they really need to move that inventory, what are they doing to put themselves there? I'm really glad you mentioned that, because that's a struggle that's as old as time as far as, you know, cars and advertising and back to Mad Men, I would say, go. Now we just have more channels on how to do it. How do you bring those together? You're with the Marketing Advisor Show. My name is Mark Chaplin, the Digital Director of Local Solutions, Cox Media Group, and 104.5 WOKV. With me today are CMG Media Consultant and Automotive Specialist Tim Colt and CMG Manager and Automotive Specialist Randy Cable. And if you have any questions or you want to talk about your lot's marketing strategy or some of our best practices, give us a call. It's 904-245-8878, or just shoot me an email at mark.chaplin@cmg.com. That's mark.chaplin@cmg.com. And today we're talking about automotive marketing. So we talked about a few things as far as what really makes it a strong play. And there's not really one thing, right? Even though I've asked for it, I know it's tricky. There's not one thing that sticks out, right? One of the things that I often hear, and this is going to play back into what we discussed as far as how to generate leads, how to increase that brand awareness, right? How to set themselves apart. I've experienced when there's my experience is when there's a staff, whether it's sales, service, management, or ownership, that's been there for a really long time, right? And they have somebody that's bought more than one vehicle. They really like the fact that, hey, I'm here, I'm in the community, and we've been here for a long time. We're not going anywhere. That's one of the USPs or the unique selling positions that oftentimes can set them apart. But I was curious as far as, you know, what your experience is or what you've seen maybe not work from your experience as well as far as how they try to get that message out there to say, instead of going to, you know, Chevy dealer A, come to Chevy dealer B. What's something effective or ineffective so we know what to avoid in your experience? Randy, I didn't know if you wanted to take that one first or.
Yeah, no, I'd love to. As a matter of fact, you know, I'll tell you that we base a lot of our coaching that we give to dealerships that we work with on research. And we've done our own consumer studies. Matter of fact, we've done several this year here in Jacksonville. We did an automotive specific study where we talked to, you know, 600 consumers that have bought vehicles recently. And we talked to them specifically about what really makes the difference when they're choosing a dealership. And surprise, you know, price is an important factor that weighs in everybody's mind when they're buying a vehicle. Mm-hmm. But a lot of them talk about trustworthiness, about not being sold, not being oversold, not being pushed, and those things. So, you know, being able to convey that kind of messaging and looking at the research as to what consumers directly tell us that they like and don't like about working with a car dealership, and in making sure that we address the key points in the messaging, whether that messaging's on any platform, whether it's digital, radio, television, it doesn't matter, direct mail. Those things need to be addressed. And I will tell you that we've also added to that. This year, we've done already two locally sourced Jacksonville-centric COVID studies. What I mean by that is we've talked to consumers about how their buying habits have changed and what's important to them now. And we did one in May when we were at the peak in the early stages, when people were really kind of struggling and there was a lot of, you know, a lot of unknown factors. We did another one in August. And so we've got updated data and we're seeing how people's minds are changing and the way they're reacting. That consumer information is extremely important when we're communicating. So again, I'm going to put a lot of the onus to this on the messaging and saying that when we're building and working with auto dealerships across the country, that what we look at is what's the specific formula that's going to work best for them. And we're able to see across the country with dealerships that we work with, what's worked for others, what's the right formula for their specific thing. We can usually find somebody that's in a like situation and say, hey, here's what's worked for them. So we can custom build the formula as far as how much of it should be in digital and how much of it should be in search, how much in display advertising, how much in social media, and then what about traditional media? You know, what are those things? Where should that mix be? But again, what I'm going to say is, all of that's great. You can have the best mix in the world, but if your messaging is not on point, it's not going to be as effective as it could be as if the messaging was on point. And so we spend a lot of our time doing the research to help build the platform for messaging as well as the delivery of the messaging. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And that's you know, that's a volume right there, because again, if you have the perfect mix, but you're saying the wrong message, then you're missing it. But by that same rationale, the opposite side of that same coin is if you have a great message, but it's not getting out to people in the right way, because the consumer journey, the journey isn't, you know, I'm here, now I'm there, and now I'm done, right? And, you know, Tim, as we wrap up, I wanted you to share a similar experience if you could. But when someone's in that shopping mode, right, they're going to talk to a buddy, they're going to go to something they know, but then if they can find a piece that they don't know, right, that's what gets them to kind of move or start thinking in another direction. But then, like you talked about with the search engine optimization and that paid search aspect of it, that's what can really get them to convert. I guess the wrap up, the 30-second answer, if you could, like, what makes sense to you from a messaging standpoint, given that type of research for somebody in Jacksonville or in South Georgia at this point?
Well, I think Randy was right, especially on new cars. When you're looking for a Chevy, you know the Chevy that you want, and the messaging that I feel that comes across to the consumer is honesty and knowing that it's a dealership that you can trust. Because at the end of the day, most of the incentives are going to be the same. You might get a little different you know, amount on your trade-in, depending on which dealership that you go to.
Right.
But it's been my privilege to work with some of the best car guys over the last 25 years. And I know a lot of times they get a bad reputation, but they work very hard and put in incredible hours.
Yeah.
And I know my most successful dealerships are those that really convey the point to the consumer that if you buy a car from me, I'll stand behind it, and you can count on our service department, which is huge. You can count on, you know, having top quality salespeople to talk with you. So I really think that that's the message that I try to help my dealerships promote.
Yeah, we're going to do you right. Stand by us, we'll stand by you. I love it. That's exactly right. So on that note, we're going to take a quick break. But again, listeners, if you have any questions about your digital marketing, traditional advertising, or automotive marketing specific, give us a call at 904-245-8878 or just shoot me an email at mark.chaplin@cmg.com. That's mark.chaplin@cmg.com. Coming up after the break, we're going to take a little dive into some auto stories and auto favorites. We'll be right back.
Digital marketing is a wise investment decision, and it's also an effective marketing channel that will help you grow your business. We will be right back to the Marketing Advisors Show on 104.5 WOKV. Digital marketing provides business owners the best chances for survival, competition, and business growth. You're listening to the Marketing Advisors Show on 104.5 WOKV.
Welcome back to the Marketing Advisor Show. I'm Mark Chaplin, Digital Director of Local Solutions, Cox Media Group, and 104.5 WOKV. Along with me are CMG Media Consultant and Automotive Specialist Tim Colt and CMG Manager and Automotive Specialist Randy Cable. And today we're breaking down automotive marketing. What I like to do on the show, though, is not make it all business, right? As hard as we work, we've got to have a little bit of fun with it. So I wanted you guys to share just a quick story, if you could. You know, tell me about like maybe a favorite car experience, or tell me about your first car, and I'll let you think for a second. I'll go first. My first car was an 81 Nissan pickup, and it was baby blue with some good points of rust on it, and it was a standard transmission. Didn't have a radio, and now I'm a director of digital. So my, how far we've come. But that thing, I bet it's still running, right? The only thing digital on that thing was the cabin light when the door opened, and that only worked every now and again, actually. But you know, it's really funny how I think it's tantamount to America, how starting from what you got and then working up from there. And anytime I see a Nissan pickup, my brother actually, he owns his own garage in Texas, and now he has a Nissan Titan, the Platinum Edition. And and actually, my first car, that truck, was his before that. So it really came full circle, and I just always kind of chuckle when I talk to him about it. I'm going to talk to him this weekend. But I was curious, you know, a favorite car experience and what your first vehicle was. I don't know who wants to go first.
Well, I can go ahead and go first if you like. My first vehicle was a 1953 Ford F-100. My father was kind of an old school guy. He said, you're turning 16. If you want to buy a vehicle, you need to get a job and save up some money. So I was able to buy this 1953 Ford for $200, and I spent the better part of the next year restoring it. And by the time it was finished, it had new paint. It had the Krager wheels with the Firestone raised white letter tires. It was fire engine red with black interior, and I put a floor shifter in it. So that was my first experience, and boy, I wish I had that truck back today.
Amen. Tim, as you were, just for what it's worth, I know we're on the radio, but as you were describing that, I could see that vehicle. I know those 100s, and I forgot to mention, yeah, the my deal, since it was my brother's truck before, is I had to pay half the insurance, so I started cutting grass real quick. Randy, what about you?
Well, let's see. I bought my first car. It was a 1969 Chevy Camaro with a 250cc six-cylinder, three-speed on the floor. It had no air conditioning, no power anything, and no power steering. We called it Armstrong steering, right? And I could literally work on that vehicle and do anything that I needed to. I could pull the alternator out. I could open the hood and see everything inside the engine compartment. It's not like in today's world. I opened up the hood on my Lexus the other day, and I was like, I can't even understand how to take the cover off the engine. There's a cover underneath the hood that I have to remove to even look at the battery. It's bizarre. But that vehicle, I paid $450 for it from my neighbor who had driven it. I think I bought that in 1981. So, yeah, so that was the first vehicle I owned. That's not the vehicle I learned on. But I can remember going with my dad. I grew up in the suburbs of New York City, and he said, get in the car. And he took me, it was when I turned 16, he took me down to the DMV and got me my learner's permit. And the only thing I had driven up until that point was my lawnmower. And as we're walking back out to the car, he hands me the keys. He goes, okay, drive us home. And the area I grew up in was skinny roads, highly congested, and it was the middle of like 3 o'clock after school rush hour and all that stuff. And oh my gosh, I was scared to pieces driving that first time. But boy, I learned.
Trial by fire, that's right.
Trial by fire, I learned right away. It's like getting thrown into the deep end of the pool without knowing how to swim.
Digital marketing is a wise investment decision, and it's also an effective marketing channel that will help you grow your business. We will be right back to the Marketing Advisors Show on 104.5 WOKV. With the shift in consumer behaviors and the evolution of technology, small and medium businesses are doing everything they can to keep up. Businesses are either changing their business models to an online one or growing existing marketing efforts with digital marketing strategies. The Marketing Advisor Show each week will talk about how to grow your business through digital marketing. It's time for the Marketing Advisor Show on 104.5 WOKV. Here's your host, Digital Sales Director with Local Solutions and Cox Media Group, Mark Chaplin.
I'm your host, Mark Chaplin, the Digital Director of Local Solutions, Cox Media Group, and 104.5 WOKV. Along with me today is CMG Media Consultant and Automotive Specialist Tim Colt and CMG Manager and Automotive Specialist Randy Cable. I want to shift back to some marketing and advertising, but I think it's important to remind ourselves, especially as you know, people listen and what we do for a living is to get that message out there and to find people that you know, these stories are what make consumers behave as consumers. And I'll never forget the first time, because that pickup didn't have automatic brakes. So when people would say stand on it, it wasn't on the gas pedal for me. It was on that brake pedal, because you were the one stopping it kind of Flintstone style. And the first time in driver's ed, they had automatic brakes, but they didn't in that truck. And so the first time when I got into the vehicle that did, I came to a screeching halt and I said, sorry about that. I use my heel. I'll use my toes from now on. But it is definitely it's interesting how far we've come, not only as consumers, but, you know, the automotive industry is something that, as we kind of, because I want to change gears here back into what we're talking about. My grandfather, he's not with us anymore. He's a World War II veteran. And he asked me what I did for a living one time. And I said, well, when I say Google, do you know what I mean? He goes, yeah, sure. I said, okay, well, when people Google something, they're looking for information, kind of like the phone book. He goes, yeah. I said, so my job is to get businesses that want people to find them out there. He goes, okay. So when somebody's looking for this, they can find that. I said, yeah. He goes, you know, I've heard a lot about that. And this is where I'm going with this. He said to me, he said, I feel like the computer is doing for America what the automobile did when I was a kid. And, you know, he said that, and it really, really stuck with me. And I've shared that. That was about 11 years ago, actually. But I've shared that several times with teams I've worked on, because it's true, right? There's a lot of work and a lot of effort and a lot of jobs that come out of, you know, advertising, marketing, but digital specifically. And I want to lead into from, you know, just the behaviors, Randy, like you talked about on that research study, and the fact that so much of us are consuming so much more in a digital way, right? Social media is up. OTT or connected video, right? Non-traditional television rather is up. Audio streaming is up. Everything that we knew from a broadcast or traditional standpoint has made that lift a few years ago, but now it's really coming into action. And so I wanted you guys to touch on a few points for me. You know, and I know it's not going to be a one and done or a single shot kind of thing, but for the dealers out there listening, what would you recommend, you know, from a social media standpoint as far as, you know, organic posting versus like paid ads? You know, how do their pics look? What are their stories like, you know, using time-based incentives or deals? What comes to your mind when we talk about that, guys? And I don't know, Tim or Randy, if you guys want to decide who goes first, but there's a lot to it, I know. But what comes to mind as far as some steps they either need to be doing or can take to get started on?
Well, things that we know right off the top are, you know, pictures, video are going to be more eye-catching, eye-grabbing. Topical or pertinent you can make it, the more appealing and fun you can make it. Again, it's about the content of the messaging, and to make sure that it conveys the messaging that we know is important. Again, I'm going to go right back to the messaging. It needs to be conveyed in every form of media that you're doing. But when it comes down to social, I mean, you got to go to where the people are. Okay. Right? We've heard all kinds of, you know, there's all kinds of different social platforms out there, but still the biggest one for marketing use in today's world is Facebook.
Right.
You know, and I've heard lots of people talking about, oh, TikTok, and it's going to get banned and all, and TikTok's an upcoming. Well, you know what? I don't see that as being a good marketing platform yet. Maybe it will evolve to be one day. You know, there was a point where Facebook was not really a great marketing vehicle, but it grew into it simply because of the audience size. But, you know, the other part about social is about building your own network and making sure you have that network. When you don't have a big enough network, then you do the outreach and you do the, you know, the paid marketing that goes and gets you attached to more people. So it's a combination of the two. You've got to have a good organic approach, and then you've got to have a good paid approach in order to get you more reach into that, you know, into that spectrum or that platform.
And Tim, I want to know your opinion on that too. I wanted to make a quick mention. You know, when we say organic, that means your lot has its own business Facebook page, and you're going to take a photo of that happy, satisfied customer, the one that I've taken some of those before. I play along, right? But do you remember when they were, it was a television ad and people were jumping up and the heels were in the air, and I think it was Chevy or maybe Toyota, right? That kind of engagement, that type of photo or that type of messaging, that's what's going to happen organically. You take a photo on the lot, you say, hey, we're having hot dogs. It's happy hour out here. We're looking to sell two more cars. The next people come in, we're going to give you an additional 1,000, right? That kind of stuff organically coming from the lot in real time, that has to go in line with the types of ads you do on social media as well. When people do searches, when people display those behaviors online, you know, Facebook's a powerful platform, and people can get served ads relative to what they want. Some of those are going to get people to go to a website for reach or traffic purposes. And the other ones are going to say, hey, if you're interested in a test drive, right, we're going to bring it to you, or we're going to clean it up and you're not going to have anything to worry about. Sign up here and we'll schedule you in. Things like that are really, wouldn't you say, Randy, that's where the rubber meets the road, so to speak, as far as making sure the organic and the paid stuff has the right messaging, hits that right audience, and really continues to move in the right direction, right?
Yep.
And Tim, I didn't know if you had anything to add on it. I did have a question for you after this, but if you wanted to add on to that.
Yeah, I'm just going to agree with Randy. First of all, your messaging has got to be consistent, whether you're organic or paid. And I truly believe a competitive dealership that is looking to gain market share has got to be in both places. You know, no matter how big your audience gets, you've got to continue to try to grow it. Social media has become a huge player in automotive, and it'll continue to get bigger and bigger, and people have to respect that and make sure that they've got consistent messages on all platforms.
Yeah, and you know, I'm happy that you said in both places like that, because even though it's on one platform, whether it's, you know, on a Google search engine or on Facebook, there's organic, right? Or user generated, if you want to kind of have a different mindset on it. And then there's paid. And you know, Tim, Randy, we've spoke ad nauseum at this point internally and with clients. But on a Google search, 40% of all clicks happen in that paid search section. The other 60% happen in that organic section. And to your point, Tim, if they're not showing up in both, they're not giving themselves the most opportunity. So I'm really glad you mentioned that. And it's the same way. Let's talk radio for a second. If you're on WOKV with us, first and foremost, thank you, right? But we've got some other pieces of this audience and some connected to it on other clusters. Hey, let's see if we can hit those too. And then the other side of that is if you're on terrestrial radio, hey, there's people in this same audience. They might not be connected terrestrial, but they're on that streaming. Let's get them there. So being in both of those places is absolutely an imperative thing. You're with the Marketing Advisor Show. Again, my name is Mark Chaplin, the Digital Director of Local Solutions, Cox Media Group, and 104.5 WOKV. With me today, it's Automotive Specialist, CMG Media Consultant Tim Colt, and CMG Manager and Automotive Specialist Randy Cable. And if you've just joined us, we're talking about Car Talk today and automotive advertising. And we just got through mentioning the importance of social. It's absolutely at this point not going anywhere, and how you really need to have the organic placement, have the organic footprint with your audience, because that's word of mouth in the digital age. But then you still got to get that message out there to those that might not be seeing it just yet. And so that kind of two-pronged and two-fold effort, it rolled me into what I wanted to talk about next, Tim, with you, if you'll start it off. But, and this is a loaded question, right? But if you could just expound a little bit, and we might be preaching to the choir on this one, but what would you say, you know, in your opinion, the biggest difference or the biggest movement pieces between advertising for new cars versus used cars is? And like I said, I know that's kind of loaded in a big one, but I wanted you to expound on that for a little bit, if you would, sir.
Well, I think the first thing that comes to mind is co-op. Obviously, that's the biggest difference, because if you are selling new cars, manufacturers offer co-op, some pretty generous co-op, and maybe not as generous as it used to be, but nonetheless, it certainly allows that dealer to pay a pretty good percentage of their budget through their co-op dollars from the manufacturer. And obviously, when that same dealer or an independent dealer is trying to sell their pre-owned vehicles, they do not have co-op available to them. And so for me, I still feel like if I'm trying to sell a pre-owned car, I am going to be I'm going to have dynamic search. Like that dynamic display where the person that's looking for the specific car that you have, that ad shows up in front of that same buyer. So if you can get a dynamic display on all of your used inventory, I think that is one of the most remarkable ways to find an exact buyer.
I agree. And, you know, to go into a little more detail, Tim, when we say dynamic, like we're able to connect to what that inventory system is. And when that behavior shows they're interested in a car that fits that mold, because you can't adjust the trim, right, or the color or the specs on it like you could, so to speak, on a build your own online new car, because it's very specific to that inventory, making sure that it's up in real time. We update it 3 times a day to make sure that once you sell it, we're not wasting that ad money on something that you can't sell anymore too, right? That's a really good point. I'm glad you brought that up. And you mentioned co-op. I mean, yes, that's that 800-pound gorilla in the room, right? You've got quite a bit of experience with that over the years, don't you?
Yep, I've seen the co-op for different manufacturers change over the years, but it's still something that the dealerships use, and I'm sure that they always want more of it. But it is a nice advantage and helps offset those big budgets.
You know, that's awesome. If anybody out there is listening with that experience, Tim knows how to not only help with those conversations, but also navigate the waters when it comes to really putting it into action. So I missed the glaring one on that. Thank you for bringing that up, Tim. Randy, I wanted to pivot real quick in the last little bit before we close out with, you know, some of those favorite campaigns and automotive ads that we've seen. But I know your experience, you're really excellent with the data and what consumer behaviors and market trends are. What would you say is like the best way to use or leverage that for a dealer, whether it's internally or externally with like market research that CMG does?
Well, you know, the data just gives us some basic direction, right? At that point, I think that more and more decisions with the amount of data that's available to us, you know, we need to put it in perspective and utilize it when we're formulating plans, utilize it when we're having, you know, brainstorming sessions with our clients. But, you know, we look at everything from the number of unit sales. I'll give you a couple of quick facts, right? Over the last few months, through the month of July, at least that's our most recent data, through the month of July, July and June, used car sales in Jacksonville have skyrocketed. New car sales are down, right? So there's some data there that's telling us, how is that going to impact what's happening on the car lots, what's happening for the dealerships, you know, what the market looks like. Those are trailing numbers, right? It's history. Those are 2 months ago. Almost 3 months ago now that we have that, but we get a new set. We're always about 45 to 60 days behind with that data. That's trailing data. But the information we get and the research that we get, from consumers is what their thought process was that can be transposed to the future, right? Because if it was the same way for these people when they were making the automotive purchase, we can pretty much say there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be like that, especially if there's a lot of commonalities in that. So utilizing that research and that data to help formulate plans. But I'm going to flip this around and say, you know, when we also have data on the metrics of the performance of an ad plan, we can look at when we're doing digital campaigns for a client, we can look at that data and then make adjustments to their campaign. Let's say we see that, you know, hey, paid search, we're getting outbid on some big keywords or we're not hitting on certain keywords or another keyword is floated up as a big trender in the market and we're not on that. We want to make those shifts and use that data to make smart shifts when it comes down to the tactics that we're using, allocation of budget when it comes down to that part of it, or trends that we're seeing in the marketplace or nationally. You know, that's one of the beauties of working with a company like us that has a national reach. We can see trends and our connections at the Google level with Google themselves. We can see trends and how they're going to be changing algorithms or how that's impacting others in a similar industry. So that data is all important, but it's only important if you utilize it, right? And you're utilizing it for two things, either a great messaging platform or to adjust your campaigns, your marketing and advertising spends to reflect where the best opportunities are. And if somebody's not doing that for you, if you're working with a marketing partner right now and they're not making in-game adjustments, then you're going to look like the Jaguars did on Thursday night, right? Yeah, I don't think they made a lot of in-game adjustments on Thursday night. They came out and got, you know, beat early and then the rest of the game was kind of downhill from there. But you know, you've got to make those in-game adjustments. And that's one of the things that I'm very proud to say that our organization does extremely well. That data drives that. Data drives those things.
I agree. We're results oriented, but data driven. And, you know, I would say that game time decisions on the Jags sideline, that in conjunction with the in-game decisions that Fitzpatrick and the Dolphins made. I mean, he threw for two touchdowns. He rushed. He got four first downs rushing and a rushing touchdown as a 38-year-old quarterback. I mean, there's not a lot of data that shows that, but they showed that they weren't holding the line, and he took advantage of it. So I know we took a quick jaunt there into football, but that's exactly right, right? Strategy, execution, follow-up, optimization, implementation. That's the same in competitive winning sports as it is in a competitive and winning marketing and advertising strategy and plan. And at the end of the day, right, the goal is to sell more cars.
Right.
We all know that. How you do that, that's where we come in.
Digital marketing is a wise investment decision, and it's also an effective marketing channel that will help you grow your business. We will be right back to the Marketing Advisors Show on 104.5 WOKV. Digital marketing provides business owners the best chances for survival, competition, and business growth. You're listening to the Marketing Advisors Show on 104.5 WOKV.
I really appreciate you guys joining me today. Again, we talked about a lot, but If you have any questions, give us a call. It's 904-245-8878, or just give me an email at mark.chaplin@cmg.com. And as we wrap up, I like to end on a high note and with a smile, hopefully. We talked about our first vehicles a little bit ago. I always like to talk about campaigns or specific advertisements relative to, you know, the industry we talk about. Or the medium that we're discussing. So I want you guys to share with me, like, what's one of your favorite car ad campaigns or advertisements of all time, or like what brand sticks out to you from your childhood and why? And I'll leave this one off. I don't like to say, hey, tell me about this without giving you a chance to think about it, right? I did a little homework, but as I've said in some earlier shows, I'm from Texas originally, and there was a country band in the early 90s, and they were called Little Texas. The play on words, Texas is so big, we're just Little Texas, but they had a song. It was called God Bless Texas. And the video that went on with that song, it featured a lot of, you know, attractive ladies. So it got a lot of attention and it got a lot of airplay. It went to number one. Well, Ford and a buyer's group, I believe, in Texas, a large buyer's group, they reached out to the band and the song went from God Bless Texas to Ford is the best in Texas. And that's been going on for over 2.5 decades. And, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Don't change the horse in the middle of the race kind of thing. They are still going strong with it. So that's one I always I like to think of and share. And I'm also, you know, keen to pickups. But I'm curious, guys, what sticks out for y'all?
Well, Mark, one of the ones that I remember, and obviously I'm going to date myself a bit here, was Ford Gives You Better Ideas. That was one of their national campaigns in the 70s. And probably as a young man, what sticks out most to me is the spokesmodel was Farrah Fawcett. And she did ads for the Mustangs and the Cougars. And it was just it's just one of those ones that stick in your brain. And by the way, the campaign you were trying to think of earlier was Oh What a Feeling from Toyota, where all the people jumped up in the air.
That's it. That's it. I appreciate that. Yeah. Duly noted and understandable. The poster on the wall led right into that ad, if memory serves, right?
Yes, sir.
Randy, what about you? What sticks out?
Well, you know, I'll be honest with you. A lot of the national campaigns have not stuck with me that I've seen, you know, for brands and dealerships. I mean, they're cute ones. Like I remember the Kia Soul with the hamster. But a lot of them just kind of blend together. Nothing's jumped out at me as really great over the years. Local ones, and I've seen some really unique local dealers, local campaigns. I'll give you one that's crazy that was from a long time ago, over 25 years ago, maybe closer to 28, 30 years ago, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And there was a car dealership called Nord Motor Company. And the dealer owner's brother was a professional wrestler on one of the circuits called Nord the Barbarian. And Nord the Barbarian was a spokesperson for the TV commercials. It was an auto dealership where you could go and buy the car and make payments at the car. And they didn't, you know, they helped people that were credit challenged. And so Nord the Barbarian standing there yelling into the camera and he goes, "Don't have a down payment? No problem." You know, and he yells that, and then they show a close up of him, and he's, you know, this giant guy with a big fur vest on, and he looks like a barbarian should look. and the next one is, you know, no credit references, no problem. And then the last one was, miss your payment, then we got a problem. And there's some guy in the background kind of just looking at a car on the lot, and Nord walks over to the guy, picks him up, and body slams him through the windshield of the car. And the moral of the story is, hey, you will give you credit, but don't miss your payments. So interesting concept, but I'll tell you this. They made their points in their creative, right? I got the messaging. I just repeated it after 28, almost 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And it stuck with me all these years as something that I probably don't want to shop there, because if I ever had a problem, was late, I don't want to get body slammed through a windshield. But at the same point, they made their points, and this thing stood the test of time, at least in my memory.
That's awesome. That is awesome. One of a kind for sure. Yep. Well, gentlemen, I know we're all extremely busy, and I really appreciate your time today. Thank you for joining me. I look forward to talking with you again in a couple weeks. Thanks for listening to the Marketing Advisor Show. If you have any questions or if you want to set up a free no obligation call, whether it's on the phone, over the computer, whatever's best for you, give me a call at 904-245-8878 or shoot me an email at mark.chaplin@cmg.com. That's mark.chaplin@cmg.com. We can talk about your dealer strategy.
You've been listening to the Marketing Advisor Show on 104.5 WOKV with host Mark Chaplin, Digital Sales Director with Local Solutions and Cox Media Group. If you have a question for Mark or would like to be a guest on the show, call Mark Chaplin at 245-8878. That's 245-8878. We hope you'll join us next week on the Marketing Advisor Show.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.